would break, scared to death, but spurned on by the love for his wife. He got down on his hands and knees and inched along ever so carefully. All of a sudden, he felt a rumbling on the ice. He was even more terrified. Maybe the ice was breaking or cracking. The rumbling got louder. It became thunderous. The man was living in terror. But as the noise got closer, he looked up behind him and saw a man driving a team of horses across the ice. The horses pulled a carriage that was loaded with a bunch of boxes, and it just went thundering across the ice. All of a sudden, the man stood up, started walking, and then running. All of a sudden, this man that was full of fear became a man full of confidence. He learned something about the ice. He learned that if it could hold a team of horses thundering across it, it could certainly hold him. If you want to have more confidence in God, then hang around somebody who's riding with God with a team of horses so that you'll know he can carry you with whatever you're facing. Find somebody who's been where you are and has experienced God's deliverance. Their story of faith will encourage you. We live in a day where falls happen a lot. We say people have fallen from grace. We see celebrities fall into drug or alcohol addiction, or people fall in their marriages. Recently, Tom Brady and his supermodel wife, Gisela, of 13 years, separated. Or people fall in their financial status due to loss of a job or the current 40-year high inflation. And we have to ask ourselves, what happens when we hear of someone falling, especially a brother or a sister? I think our text this morning gives us some insights on how to deal with it rightly and understanding what's taking place, because we don't want to come down to them so hard that it's condemning. We understand that some falls are going to happen by accident. Some falls were just in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Some falls happen on purpose because of whatever a thing might be going on in our minds or in our heart. But the reality is that when someone falls, there's always a hope, and there's always a plan to restore the man or woman who has fallen. And in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, gives us some insight. So if you'll join me, let's read this, and then we'll kind of pick a few things apart. Paul had come to this area of Troas, and he's making his way back home. He comes to Troas from his third missionary journey. And it says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep, and he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, and said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak. And he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. First of all, you'll notice in verse 7, they met on the first day of the week. Of course, that is Sunday. The church gathered to pray and to study God's word, to fellowship. They were sharing in communion, which we did this morning. And you think, well, why Sunday? Some groups want Saturday to gather together, but why Sunday? So Sunday was the day that Jesus rose again. Sunday was the day that the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. And so the early church much rather celebrate the new life they had in Christ than living under the Old Testament law of the Sabbath and Saturday, though every day is the same to the Lord. Here was Sunday, and Paul's about to depart the very next day, so he uses his remaining time he has with them to the fullest. He's probably answering questions. He's probably going through scriptures with them and teaching them doctrine. And it says there that he spoke to them, verse 7, he spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Not sure when he started, but that's a long sermon. You think 35 minutes of sitting here might be long. Can you imagine going through till midnight? And then he doesn't stop, as we're going to see. He's speaking for quite a long time, and it says in verse 8 that there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together and lots of light. It not only would draw others in, something's happening up there on the third floor, but the oil of the lamps used to light these things would give off some fumes, which was going to actually probably contribute to what happens next. Paul was sharing until midnight, and here's this man, Eutychus, a young man between the ages of maybe 8 to 12 years old. His name means fortunate or lucky. And here he's probably tired from a day's work. And in the Roman culture, Sunday was a day of work. He didn't get the time off like we have in our culture. It was a day of work. So he would work all day. And here now it is midnight. The fumes are happening. The room is packed. It's crowded. And this guy is saying, I need to get some fresh air. So maybe he goes and hangs out by the window. So here is Eutychus. He's overcome with sleep. He's going through the head bob type of thing, and his body's probably shaking, and he's dozing, and he falls out of the window 3 stories. That's a 30-foot fall. But here is the situation, and you can't, in one hand, fault Eutychus too much. It's just an accident. It's a normal situation, and nor do I fault when you fall asleep during my sermons. If they fell asleep during Paul's, then it gives me comfort that you can fall asleep during mine. And I understand sometimes that you guys have a long week, and sometimes you come in here and you're just exhausted, and you just want to be in the presence of the Lord with the people of the Lord. And if you fall asleep, well, you're falling to sleep in the right place. But at the same time, let me warn you of some of the dangers of sleeping spiritually. But I think what we can see from here is that Eutychus, can simply sum it up like this. If you fall asleep spiritually, you're going to fall and it's going to hurt. And I think we've seen that sometimes in our own lives. But how do we get spiritually drowsy? I think one way is that it was a hard day's work. And sometimes we have to confess that we're working too hard. And as a result of working too hard, the priorities, our priorities, get out of line. And we end up spiritually becoming tired, becoming weak. Jesus said, all of those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. You'll find true rest for your soul, and we need to take note of that at times. Only Jesus is the one who can give us rest and keep us refreshed. So be careful of that priority misplaced that could lead to drowsiness spiritually and put you in a dangerous position. Number two is that we end up hearing only. Listen, if you know that you've got to put into practice tomorrow what you hear today, you're far more inclined to be more attentive. When your boss says, I'm going to send you to this conference and I want you to give me a report of everything they tell you about, then you're going to do something different than if you just went and were not engaged. The test is coming. It's not in the company of Christians at church. It's in the company of that where you go tomorrow when the unbelievers are watching you, and God wants you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And we can spiritually fall into this drowsiness when we're only saying, I just need to hear it, and not putting it into practice. A third thing is when we're heading toward the back of the pack. Maybe he went to go get some fresh air in order to stay awake. That's understandable. But the fact is, there is where the detrimental deed would be done. There is where the window was. If you would have stayed and fell asleep, I guarantee you, you wouldn't have fallen 30 feet. But this is where the window was. You might say the back of the bus. How many of you guys sat in the back of the bus during school? I know most of you were homeschooled, but I wasn't. And so I drove the bus to school, and I like to ride, well, rode in the back of the bus, yes. That's because that's where you could get away with things. That's where you could make your spitwats, and that you could do whatever you want. That's where the troublemaking starts, in the back of the bus. That's also where the exits are. Then it's easy to get out. You're just one step away from the exit. You just pull the lever and away you go. I think that's what happens too, is that some believers start to get sleepy from not being engaged. They hang out on the fringes of church life, whether it's fear of people or whether it's shame of sin, whatever it might be. Instead of being involved in the life of the church, they're hanging out by the windows. They're hanging out in the back of a bus, and it's only a matter of time before they just start dozing off, and eventually they drop out. They fall out. They take the exit, and no one notices they're gone. Well, except Preacher Paul. He noticed Eutychus was gone, and when he had acted in verse 10, then the rest of the church fall in line and cared for this fallen brother. But how many slumber and sleep spiritually in the dark midnight hour? Maybe it's a woman who has known Jesus and has followed him as a kid, and now it's just turned into religion. And slowly and surely, she's just feeling like, I don't know, I feel lost. It's time to wake up. She's fallen asleep, or the man that once shared and been part of the life of the church, and now it's just excuse after excuse of why he doesn't engage, and he's fallen from that place. However the fall, you find that they all start with slumbering of spiritual things. They're slumbering. And that priority, so to speak, working too hard, so busy trying to make a living, they haven't considered making a life in Christ. It works its way into that. From that priority is where they stop applying God's word daily and sharing it continually. It's just hearing only, just another Bible study I've been through. I check it off the list for the week. Then slowly it moves from there. They are just content to sit in the back of the bus, the back of the pack. And I'm not against anyone who's sitting in the back row today. I'm just saying it spiritually, that's where we can easily end up getting, that we're heading out in our heart and the feet soon follow. But there's hope that God is near to the brokenhearted. We read that in scripture that Jesus will take a flask, a broken reed, and he comes and he bears it up gently and just blows so gently to stoke up the fire again. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise the dead, and Christ will give you light. See, whether you failed miserably, or you're just suffering physically, or you're looking at deadness spiritually, there's always hope in Jesus, because he can come alongside and bear you up and bring new life. Just as we see here with Eutychus in verses 10 through 12, look how Paul responds to this situation, this mishap. First of all, he has a heart of love for the fallen. I love that. I wonder if briefly Paul remembered his conversion when the light shone from heaven and he fell to the ground and the Lord said, arise and go. So Paul went down and he fell upon him and embraced him. See, Paul didn't come down on Eutychus. He didn't say, oh, you idiot, you fool. What are you doing hanging out on the window in the first place? He didn't sit there and laugh at Eutychus, condemn him. Hey, Eutychus, it's only a flesh wound. Get back up. No, he came down to him in his fallen state. And when a brother has fallen, it's those who are spiritually strong who go down on their knees in prayer for him. Those are who are spiritually strong who go down to the level of understanding their human failure. And they go down there for a purpose, not to mock, but to restore, to embrace this fallen one in love and help him back on his feet. Isn't that the heart of Jesus? Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Because we know one of the greatest guys who ever fell by the name of Peter. Oh my goodness, how can you deny Christ three times? You just canceled all your Christmas gifts. You're over, you're done with. And who came to him on the shore? Jesus. Peter and his frustration of fishing, and Jesus is there, and when he calls him close, and they embrace. And this man in love, and he restored him in love. How we need to be that same example. Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, we all have a spiritual obligation to be the body of Christ, to help restore a fallen brother. You say, Jeff, no, I don't want to do that. But that's your obligation from the Lord. Or you might say, well, let's get the pastor. He's the pro, let him do it. No, you're the body of Christ. If you are spiritual, simply means that you have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, then you need to help others restore that fall. And we all fall at times. James 5:19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Wow, what an impact we can have. Is there someone in your life that you need to come down to their level and embrace them and love and just pray for them and help them be restored? Not only did he notice, he had words of encouragement for the fellowship. He says in verse 10, he says, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him, and don't be upset, he's alive. Now, what encouragement that is when you've been through an accident and that you know that God spared your life. Why is that so encouraging? It's that there's grace when we fall, whether by mishap or sin or whether from drowsiness in our walk. God gives grace to the humble when they see their failure, when they've fallen, and when they've reaped some of the consequences. There's grace, and it comes through the hands of his servants. How encouraging it is. I don't think, honestly, Eutychus ever fell asleep in church again. I think he kind of went back up there, and I mean, he said, hey, dude, you got to pinch me if I start dozing. You've got to keep me accountable, throw some water on my face. Whatever you've got to do, I cannot fall asleep. It was that serious. I need to get some guards in my life. I'm getting away from the windows. I'm going in the right direction. Listen, and here's, I think, the reality of that. He says, you know what, at times if I do fade, if I do doze off, then I know I will simply be held by the believer sitting next to me as they laid my head on his shoulder, rather than falling out the window to a detrimental place. See, when you fall asleep, it's not the end of the world. It's where you fall asleep and who's next to you to bear you up. Paul, he had a heart of love for the fallen, and he had a word of encouragement for the fellowship. And number three, it had an active perseverance for the flock. In verse 11, he came up, broke bread and eaten. He talked a long while and departed. Now you would think, in the natural, somebody would say, Paul, got a question. this guy just fell out the window and he died and he came back to life. It's past midnight. Don't you think we should call it a night? And Paul's like, nope, got work to do. Paul picked right back up where he left and he went on going until daybreak. Another 4 or 5 hours. Why did he do this? I think this is important. The mishap that he experienced, it didn't move him from finishing his ministry. The people needed to see perseverance demonstrated to them. They needed to see that in times of life, people are going to fall from you. Death is going to happen. Issues are going to come up. And in those times, you need to pause and you need to go and minister the love of Christ. But it never stops the man from finishing the work that God has called him to do. So Paul says, let's get back upstairs. We have the word of God to teach, and I need to build you up. We need to break bread in fellowship and get our eyes on Christ. We need to finish what we started because the day is dawning, a new day when Christ will rule and reign. And the time is short and we want to finish well. How we need to persevere. Ministry is full of fallen people, and it's bound to happen for you and for me and for the next guy. We all fall at times, and the real question is, how are you going to respond when someone falls? When a brother, when a sister falls, learn the lesson. I think it's very clear. We need to love the fallen. One, we need to hold them up when they're downcast and when they're just out cold. Number two, we need to encourage others with the new life that God gives. He's the resurrection and the life. Number three, we need to persevere through the night because God isn't done using you and he's not done using them. And you may be in that place even this morning and the Lord wants to reassure you that he's the restorer of those who have fallen. He's the resurrection and life. In verse 12, I'm sure as when they all saw him, they rejoiced. In closing, for Eutychus, it was a simple weakness of being able to stay awake even though he was present. God will use your weaknesses to point others to his power. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly for my weaknesses so that the power of God may rest upon me. My weaknesses, your weaknesses, whatever the weaknesses may be, it's an opportunity to point others to the power of God. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. But what the enemy loves to do is to take your weaknesses and magnify them with a flashlight in your soul and use that as an opportunity to cause you to believe that the enemy may tell you you're not good enough. You'll never make it. You'll never matter. You'll never account to anything. If you did matter, you wouldn't struggle with this sin. Or if you did matter, you wouldn't have this habit. Or if you did matter, you would be more successful than you are. And the enemy loves to cause us to begin to look at others and compare ourselves to their status or their achievement or their success. We internalize that and it magnifies our weaknesses even more. And we begin to walk totally defeated, believing the lies of the enemy. But what we need to see is how fortunate we are to be made new in Christ. That his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. In my weaknesses, I can find strength when I look at him and I understand who he is and who has created me to be. I find my identity and not what others say about me or not what I can do, but in who he is, what he has done, and who he has created me to be. When I look to him, I understand that he is risen. He is our rescue. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer and our hope. He is our competence. He is our peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I think the purpose of this text we read in Acts chapter 20 is not for us to learn a lesson about the dangers of falling asleep at the wheel. It's not for us to learn the lessons of falling asleep in church. It's a reminder of the gospel's purpose to give life. Eutychus is a great lesson for us today. He fell out of the third-story window, and he was dead. He had nothing in himself that could bring him back from that. He was dead. It took Paul outside of him to come and use our God to bring him back to life. That's a beautiful picture of my life and yours being dead in trespasses and sin. There is no goodness, no amount of giving, no amount of service, no amount of volunteerism, no amount of morality that could bring me out of that dead state. The only help I have is if for someone else, Jesus, God in the flesh, incarnate, come to earth, living a perfect life, who died a senseless death. Why? So that I could be raised to life again. That's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you for this story of encouragement. And Lord, I lift up every person here that might need encouragement today. I pray that you will meet that need. I pray that you'll bring someone alongside them, filled with the Holy Spirit, that will encourage them, pick them up, pray over them. Be that brother, be that sister in Christ during their valley experience. Lord, I pray that we, each one of us, will encourage someone today, this week, this holiday season, who needs encouragement. We all need encouragement at times. We thank you that you are the great encourager. Help us, lead us, guide us to those that need to know you. We just pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone's in need of prayer, the elders will be up here. We'd be honored to pray for you. You are dismissed.